So I think we can about just start. So allow me to introduce Ondřej Procházka, the first speaker of this afternoon session, who will be talking about VTS Map Proxy, the 3D. So Ondřej, it's yours.
Thank you, Ladio. Well, my name is Ondřej. I'm currently a consultant for a Prague-based company called Malon Technologies. It's a big data streaming, deep learning, and computer vision company. And it's been recently acquired by Hexagon Geosystems. So we are now part of that group. What I'd like to talk to you about today is VTS MapProxy, and chances are that VTS MapProxy is just a foreign sounding word to you. So still good to see so much interest in it. And just to make it a little more accessible, I'm going to start with some images. And this is a case study I did for the last Phosphor G in Dar es Salaam. It's basically a three-dimensional model of Mars, which comes complete with labels, various data coming from ESA, from NASA, from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, from various sensors, and you get this like near VR experience. This is actually what this was called, and you can still play around with this actually because it's online. The URL, which will be shown on the next slide, and the interesting point is that this particular case study. Sorry, I need to cut this short because the time is limited. But the website is online, so you are free to play around with it. This particular case study was created almost exclusively with a single server-side component, which is running on an off-the-shelf Ubuntu VPS on Linode. So you can roll this on your own. With very limited resources, with very limited time, you can have a presentation like this. And the particular component which allowed this to happen was VTS MapProxy, the component that we're going to be talking about in the next 20 minutes or so. So first of all, to give you some overview of what VTS MapProxy is, it's a 3D geospatial streaming server, which is providing on-the-fly access to an array of raster and vector data formats, and which is serving those data in formats which are optimized for 3D streaming and rendering. That pretty much sums it up. As for the features in MapProxy, what it does essentially is it does dynamic triangular regular network generation from digital elevation models. That's actually something that was the original purpose behind VTS MapProxy. It does on-the-fly coordinate system conversion for massive raster datasets. It also provides WMTS service for raster datasets. It can be used as a Cesium.js terrain provider if you're into Cesium.js. And it can work as a VTS geospatial remote tileset provider. If you've never heard about VTS geospatial, VTS geospatial is a mapping stack. It's a complete integrated development environment for three-dimensional map application development, which has been created and which is being maintained by Malon Technologies. And it also has massive introspection capabilities, meaning that just by running MapProxy, you are actually getting this web-based interactive resource directories with embedded viewers, which actually allow you to inspect all the resources that the MapProxy is serving and which can be used by pretty impressive web applications themselves. VTS MapProxy is part of VTS Geospatial. I've just mentioned that, what VTS Geospatial is. It's an integrated 3D mapping stack involving the front end and mapping components. I'll be showing a brief overview of it in a minute, just to show you guys where VTS MapProxy stands within that system. It's an HTTP 1.1 server, which facilitates powerful web acceleration, and yet performs no application level caching, and I've put smart decision in brackets because I actually believe that this is one of the these three combined to a very strong design feature of MapProxy. It just makes use of the existing standards, particularly the web acceleration standards, and it does not attempt, unlike some other systems, it does not attempt to replace them through application level caching, which in the end usually tends inferior to what's already well functioning and just needs to be leveraged. It's a Unix native daemon, which is written in C++. That's perhaps an interesting observation. Today, even in geospatial, most server-side components are based on scripting languages. So VTS MapProxy kind of goes against the stream in this respect. And it's mostly operated through a command line interface. So it's going to appeal to people who are kind of used to the Unix philosophy. And it's configured mostly through JSON files. So it's a fairly easy thing to work with. Some interesting trivia. It currently has over 33,000 lines of C++ code, which means it's like a moderate size project, but actually quite lean considering what it does. It's three headers, 88 models, you know, just for you to get an idea. It's actually not so difficult to get grasp of once you spend some time with it. To give you a bit of a historical overview, we started VTS MapProxy in 2015 with the rest of VTS Geospatial. In 2016, it was already a fully mature system, which was massively operationally deployed. It was providing the current surface interface for dynamic TIM generation, the TMS interface for on-the-fly coordinate system conversion for massive raster datasets. And by meaning massive operational deployment, what I mean actually is that it's been used to run a website which is attracting something like 500,000 users per day. In 2018, we added a command line utility called MapProxy Setup Resource, which made, let's say, MapProxy accessible to the masses, because resource configuration in MapProxy used to be very difficult. Now, thanks to this tool, it's very easy. And in 2019, and specifically for the Phosphor-G conference, not this one, the one in San Diego, but let's say for this Phosphor-G season, we added the WMTS and Cesium terrain provisioning. I promised to tell you guys where MapProxy stands in the VTS Geospatial stack. It's just for curiosity. You don't really need to know this. It's basically VTS Geospatial involves numerous components. Sorry, wrong button. Okay. So it involves many components, the rendering libraries, the backend servers, the command line utilities, data sources, and MapProxy is one of the backend servers within that ecosystem. Now I'm a bit of a proxy myself here, because the actual author who wrote the component is a guy named Václav Blažek, one of the nicest and also smartest people in the C++ development universe, also an extremely shy guy. You are never likely to see him, but he is very happy to respond to your emails and to your issues and on GitHub and all that. Now, if you want to use VTS MapProxy, you need to get at least a basic grasp on some of the VTS MapProxy concepts, so it's going to get a little bit dense and boring, but please bear with me for a moment. Basically, the basic concept is the data set, the data to which the proxy access is provided. It's a proxy, so there's got to be something behind it. It's the data set. And there's the interface. The interface is basically the network service or format which is provided atop of that particular data set. So there's two formats involved. One is the data set, and the other is the format of the interface. The driver is like an internal MapProxy functionality, which can provide an interface to the data set. That's what connects interfaces to data sets. And once you connect interfaces to data sets, you get something that's called a resource, which is a data set configured for a specific driver, and thus available using one or more interfaces. So there's the theory behind it. And one more piece of theory. Dataset formats, they can be anything GDAL or GR can read. MapProxy massively relies on GDAL functionality. So whatever you can read with GDAL, MapProxy can work with. And also there's open vector tile support in MapProxy, also known as Mapbox vector tile. We actually wrote at Malone Tech a GDAL driver for Mapbox vector tiles. I don't know why nobody did it before us, but that's what we needed to do for this project. The interface types that you're going to encounter in VDS MapRxiv, there's two raster types. One is TMS, which is like a generic tiled map service, named somehow confusingly. It's not the infamous TMS OS geo standard. It's just a very basic approach to the like an XYZ raster server, that's what I call it. And there is the WMTS, which is the actual OGC specification. There is two 3D mesh interface types, which is service, which is specific to VTS Geospatial. It's a 3D mesh, which VTS Geospatial renders. And there is terrain, the Cesium.js terrain provider. And there's one vector format, which is geodata, vector geodata, which is specific to VTS Geospatial. Five interface types within MapRxiv. Now, one last piece of theory, the reference frame. Reference frames are essential to VTS Geospatial. It's basically a key concept. It's a blueprint for data interpretation. A reference frame defines spatial division, or the way in which tile hierarchies are organized. The reference frames in VTS Geospatial are purely declarative, which means that within VTS Geospatial you can define as many tile hierarchies as you want to. But luckily, VTS backend comes with many reference frames predefined, and you're always likely to use one. So just for your for some sort of an idea, this is the most commonly used reference frame on Earth, which is called Melon 2015. That's actually based on web Mercator with CMOS polar cap handling. For Cesium, we needed another reference frame, which is TMS Global Geodetic. And for extraterrestrial projects, like the Mars you saw, we are using this quadrilateralized spherical cube-based reference frames, which are good for planetary modeling. Anyway, long story short, choice of a reference frame is part of resource configuration. And you are extremely unlikely to use anything but these two reference frames, Malone 2015 or TMS Global Geodetic. And TMS Global Geodetic you'll be using only if you're into Cesium. So basically, like, if you're on Earth, most of us are with our projects, then Melon 2015 is the only one you'll ever need, and that's the only thing you need to know about reference frames in VDS. Now, how do we actually use VDS MapRxiv? There's diverse deployment scenarios. One of them is that you use it as WMTS server. That just works perfectly for you. In this respect, you can fire up your QGIS and use all your resources in VTS MapRxiv. If you ask why do you actually need to do this when QGIS already has pretty good handling of large data sets, well, the reason is that if you do this in VTS MapRxiv, then you get all this functionality in a single place on your network, and it's going to be fully accelerated using HTTP 1.1 or 2 for repeated use. So you're going to be basically leveraging that caching power that QGIS has implemented for all your users within your ecosystem. And another option is that you're going to use it for XYZ as an XYZ tile server, I don't know, for a leaflet or something like that. The other option is that you're going to use VDS MapRxiv as a Cesium.js terrain provider. And you can, of course, use it as a service, bound layer, and geodata provider within VTS Geospatial. If you're using VTS Geospatial, that's what MapRxiv was actually created for in the first place. Now, all these roles may, and actually should be, performed by the same server, because interfaces to the same dataset accelerate one another. That's the way how MapRxiv is built. So if you actually have all this within a single server installation, that's all good, and that's actually a smart way to go about it. This is how you install VTS MapRxiv. If you got a recent Ubuntu server, you could probably build for other Linux distros, but this is it's as simple as this. Now, I did a brief example of MapRxiv usage here, and that's I've been working with two datasets for this talk. The two datasets actually come from a single DEM. It's the USGS 3 arc second DEM in northwestern United States. And I've created two devs from it. Like one is the actual DEM, and the other is a Hillshade. So you can just download them from Own Technologies CDN network. And after you do this, what you do with them is that you run the MapProxy setup resource utility from command line. You basically run the command line utility twice. We're going to be for two reference frames, Melon 2015, so that we can get VTS Geospatial Service and TMS Global Geodetics, so that we can get Cesium, basically. So this is what we do for the imagery-based resources. And afterwards, we do pretty much the same for DEM-based resources in this example. And what we get from this is, we do one more step. That one more step is, you don't really need to go too deep into this, but the thing is that we'll be taking a look at the introspection API in VTS MapProxy, and basically to have a nice introspection web application, you need to bind the imagery resources to the terrain resources. So this is done with these two lines entered into the resource configuration files. And we're pretty much done at the moment. And what we get is a browsable directory of all interfaces which are currently provided by MapProxy. And this is what the resource template looks like. So we just point our browser to localhost and go to MapProxy and fill in the appropriate reference frame, the interface that we're using, and the two IDs that we used when running MapProxy setup resource. And I actually got So before we look at the introspection, there's five embedded resource viewers. For the TMS servers, you get Leaflet. For VMTS, you get Open. For WMTS, you get Open Layers. For Surface, you get VTS Browser JS. For Terrain, you get Cesium JS. And for Geodata, you get VTS Browser JS. I can do the live demo now. So this is actually running off my computer. This is the browsable directory I was telling you about. Yeah, well, you know, it's a little off the kilter. Yeah, yeah. This is the leaflet viewer for the TMS resource we just defined. What you're looking at is actual leaflet viewer of the resource, which is being generated live on the fly as I browse through it on my computer. This is the VMTS interface, which is using Open Layers, the very same resource. So I could just use this WMTS capabilities file and fire it up in QGIS. All these pages are MapProxy generated and are part of the interface if you look at the URL. This is Cesium, which is the embedded viewer for the terrain interface. And in the last step, I got VTS Browser JS, which is slightly better performing on the same data. That's like a general phenomenon. So even though this actually looks similar, the underlying framework is very different. We are using very different tile division scheme, and there is like zero overlap in the technology which is being used for rendering. So you're free to replicate this example. It really takes just a few command line tools and a single file that you need to edit if you want to play with MapProxy. That's pretty much it from me. And if you want to learn more about VTS MapProxy, then you can just check out VTS documentation at vtsgeospatial.org. Also, the GitHub repository is worth visiting, and from time to time, interesting information may be found also on the MelonTech account. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Andre. So we have time for questions, so feel free to ask.
over there.
Can you talk more about the caching that was or was or was not happening?
Oh yeah, I was kind of making the point. The question was, the question was if I can talk more about the caching and basically why we don't do it. You might have noticed that there's actually lots of caching happening, but none of that is actually part of VDS MapProxy, because the way network streaming relies on TCP/IP, and in TCP/IP you got lots of application level caching standards which are actually very cleverly designed, like HTTP/2 or even HTTP/1.1 caching mechanisms are done extremely smartly. And whenever you do like an application level system, this on one side, the other side you got file system level caching, which is done very smartly as well. Like I could probably make a better point for application level caching, which is going to supplement file system level, but on the network level, application level caching actually makes no sense at all. It's such a smartly designed system. You just need to know the technology, you need to know HTTP, and you need to work with your headers properly, and chances are that you're going to get a caching mechanism which is going to be a lot more efficient, distributed, and working across the entire internet than any kind of application level caching that you might be possibly doing in your application. At least that's the philosophy. When we designed VDS MapProxy, the guys who wrote it and designed it, like myself and Vasek, actually we were originally network streaming people, not geospatial people. So we've been like designing network streaming services outside the geospatial domain for decades. So it was to us a very natural approach to actually leverage all the caching capabilities within TCP/IP design, and not to do application level design. And I think it's a sound philosophy. Opinions might differ, but just try it out. You know, you'll see how good a job we have done with it.
Okay. Any more questions? If you see someone behind, because I didn't. Cool. Okay, then. Thank you, Andrei, very much, and we can move on.